the Cinema Judge!
Hello and welcome to the Cinema Judge. To all my regulars out there, welcome back. Now, if you're new to the show, let me briefly tell you what the show is about. We love movies. We like to share movies with you. The studios, they send us interviews, honest set, footage, movie clips, you name it. We put it together to make one giant infomercial. And then you, the jury, you make up your own mind. I'm not going to sit here and yell about Hollywood, actors, or tell you what to see or what not to see. We all walk a different path. Who am I to tell you what to see or not to see? Because any movie is somebody's favorite movie. Consider this a movie oasis, a place where you could come here, get away from all the noise, and just hear about one movie. Because we all want to spend our hard-earned money wisely. Because we want the same thing, an enjoyable movie experience. Now, speaking of that, approach the bench today. We have Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. This stars Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, and Hugh Grant, just to name a few. This movie is loaded with stars. But let me give you a brief synopsis about this movie. A charming thief and a band of unlikely adventurers embark on an epic quest to retrieve a lost relic. But things go dangerously awry when they run afoul of the wrong people. Here's a trailer for Dungeons and Dragons.
On your knees.
Okay, chop it off.
Chop it off. Let's do it.
Oh, we got him now. You know what? I'm thinking there are probably sharper stairs somewhere else.
We're thieves, but we help the wrong person steal the wrong thing and unleash the greatest evil the world has ever known.
The Red Wizards created an army of the undead.
Sounds lovely.
Quite the opposite.
I know, I was being ironic.
I find irony is a blade that cuts he who wields it most especially.
You're not a lot of fun, are you? How are we gonna pull this off?
We're gonna need a team.
Follow me to the orifice. Back to school,
eh? The orifice?
I'll go last. Let's go!
I don't mind that. She missed.
No, that's not good.
Aren't you sick of failing?
We can die.
There's worse things than dying.
I lost everything that ever mattered to me. And if we quit now, that's for nothing.
I don't want to see you die, which is why I'm going to leave the room.
This ends now.
The bridge is protected by an ancient trap. We must not trigger the mechanism.
I may have triggered the mechanism. So, sorry.
Now, some of you may or may not know, this is originally a board game. I've never played it. I think maybe I played it once years and years and years ago. But board games were never really my thing. For example, like years later, some of my buddies used to play Axis and Allies, a World War II game. I was horrible at it. I didn't know what I was doing. These guys were brilliant historians. These guys knew what they were doing. I didn't know squat. So I was always just end up sitting there going, oh, all right, this is a great thing. That's how it always was with me with Dungeons and Dragons. I understand. I appreciate the enthusiasm, and I totally get it. But it was just above my brain level or something. Maybe it was that. It's just you have to be so smart to play it, and I didn't come anywhere near that level. But that's where this comes from. So this is another version of that. And just from that trailer, you could tell just how light and fun and adventurous this movie is. It's not taking itself ultra seriously or anything like that. And that's what these kind of movies are. It's just fun, adventure, and just, you know, this takes you away. Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from the two Johns, John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. And they start talking a little bit more about when they got first introduced to Dungeons & Dragons. But with this movie, it's such a vast, I should say this. There's so much that you can't cover because Dungeons & Dragons has gone on for so long. It is endless and so vast. They talk about trying to find what to focus on, what part of the mass D&D universe to really focus on for this film. And another fun part of this interview is they talk about before they started shooting this film, they all set up a game of D&D with the cast. So they all played their characters. And I just think that's a really brilliant idea to get into the character, to start having fun with it, play with it, you know, get the whole tone down.
I was introduced to Dungeons & Dragons, the game, when I was a kid. My brother was very much into it, and he was a dungeon master. And I remember he had graph paper, and he would design these very elaborate maps and castles and things. And he would let me play with him, and he was older, and so I was always the kid at the table. And usually they would kill me off. But I remember it sort of lighting a fuse, a spark in me that, you know, that you could be so creative in the context of a game like this.
I discovered Dungeons. I knew it had existed since I was a little kid, but I actually started playing when I was 14 and on the set of Freaks and Geeks, where my character is an avid player, and being the obnoxiously method actor that I was, not really, but I wanted to play because it seemed like a lot of fun. And so they set up a game for us and the cast to try it out. And again, it immediately ignited this spark in me. It's so fun to be able to play a game, but also be creative while you're doing it.
We knew we wanted it to be in the Forgotten Realms. We wanted it to be along the Sword Coast. And we also wanted it to be a heist movie at its core. And so that kind of directed us along a certain pathway. It's a huge open-ended world that you could tell thousands of stories from. So we had to sort of pick our players and then pick our journey and where specifically we wanted to go on the map, because you can't go everywhere. It's such a vast world.
And what I find really interesting of late, that there's two directors. It happens throughout the years here and there, but a little bit more lately. And I think that's really kind of cool, because then they could deal with everybody on the cast separately. Or, you know, there's all this stuff to juggle, then there's two humans there to do the work. And these guys they've done a lot of writing and directing. They wrote the screenplay for Spider-Man Homecoming, screenplay for Horrible Bosses, and they directed Game Night. These guys have been doing a lot. And now this one, they went big. So it's really kind of cool to see their progression together and seeing where they're going. And speaking of that, we're going to hear from Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez coming up next. And they talk about them, those two directors, and Chris Pine. He just talks about how this movie so much reminds him being an 80s baby, of movies of that era. And it's just really kind of cool hearing him reflect on a movie he's in now, but it's also kind of like the tone that he used to watch as a kid. And you'll also hear from Michelle Rodriguez talking about how she knows that these two directors have such an incredible respect for the whole D&D universe. And then we're going to hear from the directors. And they also talk about that. They didn't want to make a parody or anything like that. They really wanted to do this movie right and treat it how it should be.
I think what John and Jonathan have done so well with this iteration of Dungeons & Dragons is that, at least for me, being an 80s baby, it reminds me of all the great, wonderful qualities of 80s films. It has a bit of The Princess Bride. It has a bit of Goonies. It manages to wrap up all of these different tones and colors into one really joyful film. And it is about it's a classic hero's journey, hero quest, about a bunch of misfits that are trying to do better and be better.
I do know that both Jonathan and John are avid geeks On top of that aspect of it, they have a profound respect for the making of the game, the makers of the game, the fans of the game, and they have a profound respect for the history of the game.
We wanted to sort of not spoof the genre in any way, really embrace it and show our affection for it, but bring characters to life within the genre who are themselves relatable, people who feel like they could have been friends of yours, or people who are in your adventuring party if you play Dungeons & Dragons, imperfect people with humor and flaws.
And what's so natural about approaching it from a somewhat comedic perspective is the fact that when you're playing a game of Dungeons & Dragons, there's always humor involved.
And that's one thing I'm really glad that they really focused on and were able to put their finger on that pulse. Fun. Funny. Because when you're playing board games, it's not always serious and, you know, doom and gloom. It's a fun adventure. You're there with friends, family, whoever you're playing with. Bringing that to the movie, I think, is a really great call. Because you want to just escapism. Just to be able to be swept away on an adventure, in a journey. Because speaking of journey, up next, we have a featurette. Now, in this featurette, the studio, they send me interviews, clips, on a set footage, and they pack it into one little couple-minute mini commercial. And in there, they intersplice scenes from the movie, interviews, and on the set footage. So at the end of the show here, I'm going to give you a website in case you want to watch these interviews and or these featurettes and clips that we're going to play for you. You could watch them. Because here, obviously, you don't, you just have to hear them. But there's a lot going on in these featurettes. So at the end of the show, I'll give you that website. But in the meantime, this first featurette, you'll hear interviews from the cast members. And they're just talking about the massive adventure this movie is.
Oh, I got a good feeling about this.
Dungeons & Dragons is that classic hero's journey, but a ragtag group of misfits. Where we have to fight dragons and evil wizards in order to save the world.
So how do we pull that off? Figure it out over a drink?
Probably best.
It's about finding your own hero within. And each character has their own version of that journey.
I don't mind that.
Oh, we got him now!
Exactly that you bring to this?
I'm a planner. I make plans. I will not be complicit in the illicit use of ill-gotten booty.
Can someone else ride next to this guy?
I think there's a wicked sense of humor through this, and that allows us to have as much fun with this as we can.
Keep still.
I'm glad he's on our side.
The nuances that each individual actor brings is what makes this film so great.
This I give you now. Trusting that you'll protect it with your very life. I will. Hold this.
I'm part of the ruthless band of thieves. But he's not as evil as the Red Wizard.
Never put your trust in a con man.
The Dungeons & Dragons world has amazing creatures. In this one, I think they outdid themselves.
These creatures are insane. You really can tell they put a lot into this.
What is that again?
An owlbear.
This is just big, fun movie making.
It's a great adventure with characters that you're going to care about.
We want to give them the movie that they've been hoping for.
That's what I've been saying!
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Two things. A, I love that song. Once you start hearing it by Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love, you gotta play it. Your hands are tied. What are you gonna do? Growing up, listening to the 60s and 70s, you hear that song, you gotta play it. But I always enjoy those featurettes. They always just give such a nice little package. It gives you a brief summary in case you just want a brief little snippet. There it is. And I love hearing interviews when they talk about character development. Like before a movie starts happening, they talk to the actor. They go, this is where we want to go with it. In this next interview with the directors, they were talking about when they talked to Chris Pine about his character and what he was going to be like, this little positive force. And they delve into that a little bit. And then immediately after that, we're going to hear from Chris Pine. And I love it that he goes, I've never played a character like this, really. A one that's so positive and just all that kind of jazz. It's just a cool interview. Check it out.
We sort of came up with a direction that hadn't been in the script in talking to Chris Pine prior to shooting it. This notion that he's sort of this unflappable, positive energy coach, like we talked about the coach of the Bad News Bears a little bit. No matter how much goes wrong, he's just going to keep pushing them to do what they have to do. And that really defined who Egan became in the movie.
He has trouble tapping into any kind of real earnest emotions himself, so that when he's finally confronted with them, basically coming to terms with the mistakes that he's made, you understand why it's so difficult for him to actually reach that point as a character.
Edgin Darvis is a little bit different than the characters I've played before, in the sense that he is undeniably an optimist. He will make the best out of any situation. And I guess from the definitions from the Dungeons & Dragons game, the bard is the inspirer. He or she is the one that inspires hope and courage and people to do their best.
Now, keeping in line with character development and a little bit more about character details, we're going to hear from the directors. In a description that they give for the character played by Reggae Jean Page is fantastic. And I'm not going to spoil it here. But hearing them talking about that character, it, for whatever reason, it just amuses me to all get out. But then after that, we're going to hear some interviews from Reggae, and he talks about his character, all the other great actors that are involved in this movie, and he talks about the story that I talked about earlier in the show, where the whole cast and crew played D&D before they started shooting the movie, because he had never played before.
We always talked about the Zank character that Reggae plays as if he has walked into the wrong movie. He's from a more serious movie that's shooting on the next stage, and he stumbled into this band of idiots. And so I think that just automatically kind of triggers Chris's character to be annoyed by him. Reggae also really found the core of the character. I mean, he's just embodies this noble paladin character perfectly. And it was always super fun. I mean, we were never disappointed with the takes, the reads, the way he did them.
And again, like going back to game mechanics and playing, you know, these campaigns, there's always that player that takes it a little too seriously, that gets frustrated when people start joking around and just treats it all with this sort of solemn realism. And I think that's definitely what Zank embodies.
So an introduction to Zank. Is that he is a very, very righteous man. He is very kind of staid and stoic. He's very much on the straight and narrow path of life. All things are driven by how righteous they are and how good they are. I think he's just very, very determined to be a good guy. And like everything else, that's both his greatest strength and his greatest weakness. Occasionally he gets in his own way. My character is a man named Zank Yendar. He is a prototypical knight in shining armor. He is painfully righteous. He is ridiculously stoic, and he is thoroughly charming. And all of those things together make for both a heroic character and hopefully a very, very funny character, because there is something ridiculous about having a very, very perfect shining armor knight in the group of, quite frankly, improvisational idiots that are the heroes in Dungeons & Dragons. And feeling that and bumbling your way through and finding a sense of family among that, I think, is what the real beating heart of the movie is. What was my experience before the movie had I played the game? I hadn't played the game before the movie except when the entire cast got together to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons together right before we started filming. And so my experience was gloriously funny and chaotic, because this cast are gloriously funny and very chaotic. We sat around a table. We played our characters. So I played a paladin. Chris was playing his bard. Michelle was her barbarian. Sophia was the druid. Simon, Justice, was playing the sorcerer. And our directors joined in as a two-headed bird creature, because why not? And we just kind of jammed this thing out. We saw how far we could push the characters. We saw how silly the things we could do were, whilst also holding onto real stakes. We first started feeling the dynamics of how you could pass that between each other, and what each cast member brought, and why, in what specific ways each cast member was unpredictable, what they lent into, what they enjoyed, and how you can contribute to that. And so we all just did what actors do. We played together. We made a really playful thing. And then we wanted to share that with our friends, which is you guys in the audience. What drew me to the world of D&D? It's that it's a world of imagination. It's a natural place for an actor to be drawn to because it's about just playing improvisation and thinking of the wildest things you could think of, thinking of the most imaginative thing that you could think of. And then what drew me to the movie as a place to do that was that we have this incredible ensemble cast between Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, Justice Smith, Sophia Lillis, Hugh Grant. We have some of the most inventive and sharp and intelligent and witty people that you can kind of back and forth these creative ideas and just grow them. It's almost like building a snowball of madness until you got something really fun and funny to give to an audience.
He knows how to give an interview. Whatever it is, his way of talking, his delivery, descriptives, whatever it is, he just throws down a fantastic interview. Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from one of the directors, John Francis Daly, and he's going to talk about the character Simon, played by Justice Smith. And you might know him from Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, and Paper Towns, and All the Right Places. And he talks a little bit more about his character.
What's so great about Justice is that, like, he totally embraced this innocence that's in Simon and this absolute winning, like, likability. We couldn't have thought of anyone better for the role. He was so great in it, and people really respond to it. Even when we first meet him and he's so imperfect and not at all brave, it just gives him somewhere to go.
Simon Omar is a half-elf sorcerer from Tribor. He's also a petty thief and is riddled with insecurity about his magic, most likely because he is a descendant of wizarding blood and of a great sorcerer. He can't really live up to that pressure, nor to the pressure of being a descendant of magical experts. And so he kind of has internalized that he is never going to be enough and just bathes in his own self-deprecation and has resorted to just using his tricks for thievery.
And as you're hearing, this movie is just loaded with just great actors. Coming up next, we're going to hear from the co-director, Jonathan Goldstein, and he's going to talk a little bit more about the character played by Michelle Rodriguez. And then we're going to hear from Michelle talking about her character. And I just got to say this. I salute Michelle Rodriguez. That's somebody I would love to sit down and talk to. What an incredible career she's had from the Fast and Furious films and on and on. Even like back in when she did Machete. I mean, that was brilliant. But here's my question for her, I wonder. You know, she could do it all. Whatever movie they give her, she nails. But I think we're generally known her as, you know, kind of like just tough, strong woman. And obviously she is. And I always wonder this. You know, when you ever have like guy actors and they're like the tough guys or big muscle guys, when they go out in a boat, you always have some buffoon try to like, you know, cause problems with them. I wonder if she ever has buffoons like that because she plays such tough as nails characters. Do people go, oh, I have something to prove, I'm going to be cause problems? And maybe I'm just talking out of my head here. It must be kind of tough sometimes when you have that legacy of being just a strong character because she's one tough, great actress. Anyway, I digress. I went way off on a tangent there. But we hear the director talk about her and then her talking about her character.
As it is in the game of D&D, I think you rely on your fellow campaign members to step in and fill in the weaknesses that you have. And so it was clear that that Holga, Michelle's character, was the physically strongest of the group. But she's not always, she's kind of brute force. She's not thinking strategically. That's kind of what Edgin brings. But we tried to give everybody their moment to shine so that there's no one character who's always saving the day.
I think that's kind of Holga's, you know, thing, is that She's been kind of shunned by her tribe, and she finds a new team, a new place to belong. Holga's part of the barbarian class. The barbarians are human. they don't have magic. Their biggest, I think, power is pretty much, you know, their passionate fury.
And as you've been hearing, this cast, every character, they're so fun and just wildly dysfunctional, or not maybe dysfunctional, but just misfits. So up next, you're going to hear from Chris Pine talking about how each character is different and how each actor that plays that character fits them really pretty good. And immediately after that, we're going to have one of those featurettes again. And in this featurette, it pretty much talks about each character for a few seconds at a time.
Everybody has a really, really different energy, which I think works very, very well for a story about a group of misfits. So it makes sense that, you know, Sophia is very, very quiet and very introverted. And like I said, Justice is fun and easy and facile in the moment. And Reggae is very serious. Michelle's very bright, and I can be all sorts of things, very mercurial. So I really was surprised about how beautifully John and Jonathan had composed this symphony of people.
The games have started.
Edgin is a bard. The bard is sharp.
We have a plan D if plan C fails.
He's charming and likable.
Olga, I could kiss you.
Try it.
Olga is a barbarian, lives to fight foes and everyone else. Luckily, you can't make her angry, because she's already angry.
Simon is a sorcerer, master of magic.
Perlamon Tergatus.
Maybe I'm not saying it.
Doric is a druid. He changes shapes on the outside, but stays the same on the inside.
Zenk is a paladin, a warrior so fierce, and he can afford to be polite.
Jankly.
Jankly to you as well, good sir.
He's interesting.
Forge is a rogue. Trust him once, shame on you.
Keep her safe.
You have my word.
Trust him twice.
I don't want to see you die, which is why I'm going to leave the room.
Let's go!
And then we have the Red Wizard. Powerful and ruthless. The last face you want to see. And now you are ready to go out and see Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves.
He must have found a new den. Did he eat the last one?
Now, you didn't think we'd forget about Hugh Grant, did you? In case you don't know who he is, just by some weird fluke, and it happens. Love Actually, About a Boy, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, just to name a few. This guy's, he's just had a great career, just amazing. And up next, we're going to hear from the directors. This amuses me to no end, talking about when they pitched this idea to Hugh Grant, and they do a little brief imitation. Again, I'm not going to spoil it for you. And then after that, we're going to hear from Hugh Grant talking about his character and about how he felt when he read the script and how he kind of repeats what the directors say. And then we hear from Chris Pine. He talks about working with Hugh Grant, and it's like going to a acting school, his little nuances, little changes he makes here and there. And I think it's neat hearing about an actor talking about another actor and that they're still learning. Because, you know, sometimes you think, well, they nail down what they do in life. But hearing another actor say, wow, I really learned something or appreciated what this person did. And then we have another featurette. And this featurette, it's not entirely about Hugh Grant's character, but he's kind of the main theme-ish in it. But they're just talking about battling good and evil with the ragtag team of people that they have. But they kind of focus on his character.
We definitely had Hugh Grant in mind when we were writing this.
Yeah.
And one of the most gratifying things was he told us, I should tell you, I hate everything and I loved your script. So right off the bat, we knew we had sort of hit that sweet spot.
It just came through the email suddenly. And I did not know the game, but I'd heard of it. And I thought, this probably isn't for me. But then I read it and was highly entertained. I'm never entertained. It's very difficult to please me with scripts. And I genuinely laughed and was rather touched by the whole thing. And I thought Forge looked like a good character. Forge has always fancied himself as a ladies' man, I think. He's managed to open doors through his charm and insouciance and fake aristocracy. And I think part of that was having rather beautiful hair and having kind of dashing costumes.
He was assuredly a very prepared actor and man when he comes to set. You could just see the tactician in him changing an ending or adding a word or, you know, pumping up the volume on a certain beat, taking it down. It was like an acting class.
How are we going to pull this off?
We're going to need a team.
You don't have to know anything about Dungeons & Dragons to get into this story.
The characters are a group of petty thieves.
We helped the wrong person steal the wrong thing. We didn't mean to unleash the greatest evil the world has ever known, but we're going to fix it.
I'm a con man. I team up with Sofina, the dreaded Red Wizard.
Red Wizards created an army of the undead to conquer the nation. Such immense evil, and they were so incredibly powerful.
You know not the scope of my power!
This is an amazing thing to have these bandits coming together, trying to save the world.
It's pretty badass.
It's a hero's journey of good against evil.
This ends now.
Whatever happens, we'll be ready.
Now, when you're talking Dungeons & Dragons, clearly there's going to be monsters, creatures, all kinds of things. So before we get to the featurette about that, we're going to hear from Hugh Grant talking about when he was acting his little heart out. It's a fun interview. He was doing the scene, then he looked in the background, wait a minute, there's this creature reading a book or whatever. You'll see what he says. But then right after that interview, we go into a featurette. And in that featurette, they talk about all the different kind of creatures and monsters and all those kind of things that are in this movie.
They are amazing, all those characters. I mean, I appreciate they all come from the game. The first real surprise for me was in that scene where I greet Edgin and Holger and Kira, when I've become the Lord of Neverwinter, and in they come. And I realized after I was acting my little heart out that through the back of my close-up was walking this creature with a dragon's head reading a book.
What creatures will you meet when you go see the new movie, Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves?
Oh, that's not good.
Will there be an owlbear?
What is that again?
The mashup that somehow pairs all of the terror with none of the cute from Owls and Bears.
We're mimics, monsters that can pose as anything.
Will there be a gelatinous cube that disarms its victims?
How about a displacer beast? A predator with tentacles and cloaking abilities and... Well, I mean, isn't that more than enough?
Or an intellect devourer. A giant brain that consumes other brains, like some kind of awful brain cannibal.
The higher the intelligence of the prey, the more likely they are to strike.
Oh, that's a little hurtful.
Or even Themberchot, the red dragon who looks like he ate all the other dragons as appetizers.
You'll just have to go see Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves to find out.
Now, obviously, with all those creatures, all those special effects, they needed a great team to do it. We're going to hear next from the directors, and they're going to talk about going to the origins, if you will, the makers of Dungeons & Dragons. And I really appreciate this because sometimes you hear about movie makers, directors, and they don't talk to the source material at all. They go, no, we don't want to get blinded by it. We don't want... Oh, and I respect all those decisions because every artist has a process. But these guys, they went to the home base of D&D and they talked to the creators and they bounced ideas off of them. And it's just, I just like that. It's knowing they care enough to get the creator's opinion, but also the creators were very flexible and you'll hear what they talk about there. And then after that interview, we're going to hear from producer Jeremy Latcham. And he talks about comedy, that this movie has it, and that's in how they do it, and I really enjoy it. And then right after that, we're going to see us have a scene. And I just, whatever it is about the scene, this cracks me up. The great writing, pacing of it, I don't even know what it is, but it amuses me so much. In that scene, they're at a cemetery. Chris Pine's character, he's sitting by an open grave, and there's like a skeleton in there. And he's explaining to these people, okay, we have to ask this, we can only ask this corpse 5 questions. And then one of the, you know, group says, well, why 5? I don't know, that's just how it is. But within this process of asking questions, they get so tossed and turned around that you'll see what happens. It cracks me up.
So, Wizards of the Coast, while we were still early on in the development of the movie, we went up to Seattle and spent a couple of days at the headquarters of the Wizards of the Coast, who are the makers of all things Dungeons and Dragons. And some of them are sort of iconic figures because they've been doing it for many years and have designed so much of the world. And it was pretty cool to be able to sit with them and share kind of creative ideas and get their sign off on some of the things that we were talking about.
Yeah.
And they were very helpful and flexible in terms of sort of stretching some of the lore to accommodate what we were proposing to do. They weren't dug in a way that said, no, you can't do any of that. They tried with us to figure out how to make it work.
Which is totally true to playing Dungeons and Dragons. You know, I mean, they create this template for players to you know, work off of, but totally encourage, you know, your imagination. And so they were monumental in helping us flesh out the world and figure out some of the specific creatures and encounters that our characters would have. And to get their seal of approval, by the way, was the most gratifying thing. Like they felt after watching it, they told us like, this is so in line with the spirit of the game. And that is exactly what we were setting out to do. And what's great is the spirit of the game is like our cinematic spirit, you know, where it's you're having fun and you're not taking things too seriously.
It's hard to have like good comedy that comes from character. You know, I mean, a gag is a gag, but like what you want to experience are like characters that are inherently have humor and reality to them. And I think that John Jonathan have done an incredible job with the screenplay and making it where like these very, very funny characters are brought to life on the page. And so you have all these like little rivalries playing out between the characters and you get like real humor.
Okay, Simon, how does this work?
All right. Once the dead man is revived, we can ask him 5 questions, at which point he will die again, never to be re-revived.
Why 5 questions?
I don't know. That's just how it works.
Seems arbitrary.
Can we get on with this, please?
Right. Yes. Perlamon Tergatis. Maybe I'm not saying it right. I wasn't scared, nearly startled.
Here we go. Were you killed in the Battle of the Evermoors?
Yes.
Great. I mean, not for you. Sorry for your loss. 4 more questions, right?
Yes.
No, that wasn't for you. Did that count as a question?
Yes.
Damn it. Only answer when I talk to you, okay?
Yes.
Why did you say okay at the end of that?
I didn't.
Fantastic. Where's the shovel? We're facing the greatest evil the world has ever known. We're gonna need a team.
How are we gonna pull this off? Figure it out over a drink?
Probably best.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Now you might be asking yourself, who does this movie appeal to? Well, coming up next, We have a lot of, not a lot of interviews. We have a few interviews, and I'm going to play them back to back because you're here for them, not to listen to me interrupt them every other interview. And they're going to talk about what's so appealing about this movie, who will like this movie, and what you'll get out of it. So first, you're going to hear from Jeremy Latcham, the producer, and then Sophia Lillis. Now you're thinking, who's Sophia? I know that person. Well, she played young Beverly Marsh in the It movies, and she nailed that role. I'm a huge Stephen King fan, and I remember reading It several times. So the big swing, big question was, who can play young Beverly Marsh? She was perfect. If you haven't seen it yet, see it just because it's a great movie, and she nails the role. She's also in Sharper Objects, Nancy Drew in The Hidden Staircase, Uncle Frank, Gretel and Hansel, in the TV show I Am Not Okay With This. It just lasted one season, but I really enjoyed it. And then we go move on to Michelle Rodriguez. Then we go to Reggae Jean Page. Then we go back to the producer. And then the directors talk about who this is for and what they'll get out of it.
There is real emotion and real drama that is driving all of the crazy, ludicrous things that are happening in the movie. And I think that's the thing that is going to keep the audience on the edge of their seat, because they can laugh, but they know in the back of their brain and in their heart, like, these stakes are real. I can't tell what's going to happen or how it's going to unfold, but I'm having a good time finding out.
There's a lot of humor. Chris Pine, Michelle, everyone actually is just hilarious in this film. I think it's just, there's a lot of heart going into it. A lot of people who just love the franchise, love the show, and love the game, just put all of their work and all of their heart into it. And I think they did such a good job.
Well, this D&D story specifically, I think has a lot to do with acceptance and courage. The belief in yourself as an individual, and how that might be different for others outside of yourself. The story itself is just really all about coming to terms with that, finding your own hero within individually. And I think each character has their own version of that journey.
The thing that makes this movie for everyone is that it's not about dragons or magic. It's about hanging out with your friends and seeing how much of a good time you can have. It was about being as creative as we possibly could be whilst living in our imaginations. It was about improvising with a group of actors and seeing how we could build a family out of that. And then we just dressed it all up in swords and armor and dragons just to make it more fun. And I think everyone can play around with that.
This movie's as much for my great-grandmother as it is for my six-year-old daughter. Like, it really is for everybody. And I think that the whole family can go and laugh at the film and have a good time, and everyone's going to get something out of it. At its heart, Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves is a story about family. It's a story about a guy trying to get his daughter back. It's about a guy trying to put his family back together. It's about a woman trying to atone for her family, throwing her out and leaving her out in the cold. And ultimately, and what makes it so beautiful to me, is it's about a group of people becoming a family. To me, the team itself, what makes it so much fun to experience is that it's a ragtag group of misfits. It is a group of people that probably don't belong together, that probably shouldn't be together, that probably have no business being in business with each other, and watching them kind of come together and work out their stuff and learn to trust one another, while at the same time cutting each other down with jokes and being funny with each other the whole time. Like, that to me is the heart of the film.
I hope that this movie really is for everybody, because we try to approach it as we do all our movies. It's just a great sort of adventure with some characters that you're going to care about and hopefully love by the end of the movie.
And I think that is the ultimate challenge, and that's the ultimate hurdle that we want to hopefully pull off, is attracting people that would never go and see a Dungeons and Dragons movie. Hopefully they hear through word of mouth that, like, it isn't just a total nerd fest. There are a lot of elements to it, and hopefully people will be surprised in that sense.
And that's the big question. Will this have a crossover effect? Will people who are not familiar with the whole game and that whole concept go to this movie? If you are totally unfamiliar with Dungeons and Dragons or anything about it at all, do you think you'll see it? Maybe you're not a fan of the board game. Maybe you're not a fan of sci-fi action-adventure. But is the story enticing enough to you? That's always a big question. And when they take a risk like this and something that's kind of a, you know, almost centered around a certain group, but then yet will it pull in other people? And if you're one of those people, I wonder if you're going to see it or not. Who knows? Well, I hope you enjoyed our in-depth look at Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, any way to improve the show, let me know. CinemaJudge@hotmail.com or go to Instagram. I'm the Cinema Judge. Go to TikTok. Go to YouTube. Flipboard. A plethora of other places. I would love your feedback because I can't grow if I don't know. But you know what time it is now, guys. My favorite part of the show. This is where I thank you, the listener, for listening to the last episode. And I love hearing how you listen to the show. Some of you listen to it when you're just sitting around, going to work, driving your car, whatever it is. And some of you might even listen to it years from now. That's why I try to keep this show kind of in a bit of a bubble. I don't try to bring up too much current events because then you feel like, oh man, this was recorded how long ago? And I realize that can be judged based on the movie, but not always the case. But that's what I love. I try to make it, you can listen to it anytime out there in the world, and it feels like now, and you don't feel like it's dated. And one more thing for those who care about the kind of behind-the-scenes stuff on this. Some might ask, do you record several episodes at once and then just release them, like one, you know, just weekly at a time? Nope. The show I do it right now, and then as soon as I get it done, I upload it. I'm not, and there's nothing wrong with the other way of doing it, but I always just do my show, I sit down, talk about the movie, boom, 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 next. I don't do 10 in a row or anything like that, just for those who care about that kind of stuff. So whether you're listening to it the day it drops, or days or years down the road, I am very grateful for this. And I just, like I always say to you guys, wherever, whenever, or whatever you're doing, this is for you. All my listeners from the United States, Australia, Mexico, Iran, Germany, Poland, Uzbekistan. It just blows my mind. People all over the world, I don't know who you are or anything, but you take time out of your life to listen to this show. It just makes me so, so happy. From Minneapolis, Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota, Sydney, New South Wales, Madison, Wisconsin, Seattle, Washington, Duluth, Minnesota, Littleton, Colorado, Morrisville, Pennsylvania, Valencia, California, South Hadley, Mass, Farmington, Minnesota, Tampico, if that's not right, guys, I am so sorry, Frankfurt, AM, Maine, Hess, and boy, howdy, KCYNIAKUJAWSKO, thank you so much for listening. And then Tashkent, and that's just to name a few. But honestly, from the bottom of my heart, whenever I see somebody's city, state, country, whatever it is show up, I do a happy dance. Believe it or not, it's sad and pathetic. Oh, yes, it is. But I do it because I'm like, man, somebody listened. Oh, and even if you listen to the older catalog shows, that's super cool. But you might say, well, why aren't you thanking me? Because that stuff's impossible to find out because there's so many shows and I don't know who's the last one to listen to it. What, all that jazz. It's just super easy-er to thank the people who listened to the last episode. So don't think that I don't do the same happy dance if you listen to the older catalog shows from years, 2 years ago, or whatever. Every time, I appreciate it, guys. But now, it's the bourbon shout-out. This week, I got two shout-outs. One, and this is, I feel so sorry about this. It's Ken something. You wrote it down, and I smudged it. I can't read the second part of it. So I will see you, hopefully, in the next week, so that the next episode I can do it properly. But Ken behind the counter, I really appreciate your opinions, your insight, and I'm very grateful. I'm sorry that I can't read the name right, your name right. I'm so sorry. And also to a musician, I'm just going to spell this out for you because I won't say it right. Future, and it's F-E-N-Y-X. So it's F-U-T-U-R-E-F-E-N-Y-X. He's on Instagram and other places. It's been so fun talking to you. It's been a blast. So to both of you, cheers. But now, you know what time it is, people. The music section. Because as you all know, this is originally a TV show that I turned into this podcast. And when I'm doing a TV version of it, I'm not on it. I don't speak on it. I'm just editing. It's all interviews, clips, all that stuff, but zero me. So I could just live the dream, crank out tunes, air guitar, air drums, because it's my happy place. Music and movies, movies and music. That's all I really need. And this week, how could I possibly do anything else than Zeppelin? Because as you heard in the show, every clip, or not clip, but the featurettes and in the trailer, it's Zeppelin. How could I do anything else except, I mean, I heard that trailer, the song stuck in my head. I'm like, well, okay, my hands are tied. In a good way, mind you, because, come on, it's Zeppelin. I pretty much did every album. I mean, this show took, the TV version of it took, you know, probably 6 or 8 hours, whatever it was. I just kept on playing Zeppelin the whole time. Because why not, right? And I didn't forget, if you want to watch the TV version of this that I was just talking about, a couple different ways you could do it. Either go to the City of Bloomington, Minnesota's webpage for the cable access, and then type in Cinema Judge, or you go to bit.ly/cinemajudge. You go there, this episode will be there in several others. You can watch them on demand whenever you want, so you don't have to like wait for a certain time or anything like that. But in those TV versions, like I said earlier, you won't see or hear me at all. It's just pure interviews and all the good stuff. Well, that is it. And I'm pretty lucky that it is, because I'm starting to lose my voice or something's a foul. So good thing that it's hitting the post here. My glass awaits. So cheers to you and to the movies. So till next time, be well, be good, and I'm gone. I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening to The Cinema Judge.